Komisch hier so.
Komisch?
Ja, ja.
Okay?
Yeah.
I was asked to speak about something that relates a little bit to the Parshas of Shavuot. So this is where we read Parshas Va'era, at the beginning of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers a message to Moshe Rabbeinu about the upcoming events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he uses, as we well know, four particular expressions, four Lashonos, that describe the forthcoming redemption. So the Parak Vav at the beginning, Pasuk Vav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'lakachti eschem li la'am, v'isi lachem la'lokim, v'idatem ki ani Hashem lokechem, v'otzi eschem mitach ha'slivos Mitzrayim. Actually, I skipped one. I should start in Pasuk Zayin, I meant start in Pasuk Vav. L'chein emor l'me Yisrael, ani Hashem, v'otzeisi eschem mitach ha'slivos Mitzrayim, v'itzalti eschem v'arason, v'gaalti eschem v'zonatu, v'shvotim gdolim, and then Pasuk Zayin, v'lakachti eschem li la'am, v'isi lachem la'lokim, v'idatem ki ani Hashem lokechem, v'otzi eschem mitach ha'slivos Mitzrayim, and then in Pasuk Ches, v'veisi eschem la'aretz, and so on. So we know that the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used four expressions, that the Arba Lashon is Geula. We know from the time of little kids, there are various songs, I think, that have those words in it, about Tzeisi, V'itzalti, V'galti, V'lakachti. There are other verbs in these psukim, and some say in the Pasuk Ches, V'heveisi, reference to the fifth coast. Others say V'idatem is a reference to the fifth coast. Okay, another time we can perhaps talk about that. But the four principal Lashonas are V'otzeisi, V'itzalti, V'galti, V'lakachti. And this is related by Chazal to the mitzvah of having arba kosos, four cups of wine at the Pesach Seder. That's a Mishnah. It's a din d'rabbanan, not in the Torah. The Torah says nothing about drinking wine at the Pesach Seder. But the Mishnah, beginning of Parak Arvei Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Tesson Beis, the Mishnah says, even a poor person, everybody has to drink four cups of wine on Pesach. That's one of the mitzvahs. And later on in the Parak, the Gemara discusses that it has to do with Cheres, demonstrating freedom, and the various rules about when you drink them and so on. You're not supposed to drink them all at once. There's a number of important dinim about the arba kosos we're not going to go into now, but why arba kosos? So the Gemara doesn't say, and the Bavli never says, Rashi and the Rashbam. You know, we have on our Reb Sochim, we remember both Rashi on the page, or at least a bridge version of Rashi on the page, and the Rashbam, and they both refer to a Chazal. It's actually a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba in Parsha Peches, but it's also Rishalmi in Brachas in that parak, our Reb Sochim, that mentions why there are four cups of wine, because it corresponds to these four words that are four expressions of Gula, Arba Lashon's Gula, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu at this time here in Parshas Va'era. It's noteworthy that that's the only source that the Rishonim, the only page quote, Rashbam and Rashi quote. If you look up that Yerushalmi, the 10th parak of Psochem, parak Yud Aloch Aleph, Yerushalmi has various other Ramazim, various other psukim, and sources from elsewhere, nothing to do with these four. Lashonos HaGula here in Parshas Va'era. Also, somehow the number four is important, and it relates to more relates it to other things. Pesukim and Navi, perhaps most famously aside from these four, are the fact that in the dream that the Sarah Mashkin had, that's describing the end of Parshas Va'yesha. Remember, the Yosef is in prison, so the Sarah Mashkin and Sarah Ofen have a dream. Each have a dream, and the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, so it describes to Yosef that he was pressing wine for Parah. He was the wine steward. And so the word kos is mentioned four times over there. So that's another remez that the Yerushalmi has for why we have four cups of wine, because it's four times kos. It's not just on the connection to kos, because if you think about it for a moment, that dream, in a certain sense, was the beginning of the whole story, because it's because Yosef interpreted that dream accurately, and Sarah Ofen was executed, and Sarah Mashkin was restored to his post. Then he temporarily forgot about it. But a little while later, when Paro had his dream with the seven cows and the seven sheaves and so on, suddenly, as Chatayim is carry on, the Sarah Mashkin remembers that his dream, he had a dream a couple years earlier that this fellow in the prison interpreted correctly. So that's how he got Yosef out. And that's how Yosef set up to save Mitzrayim from the impending famine. And that's how the family eventually came down, because there was nothing to eat in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan. So that dream, so to speak, in a certain sense, started the whole Gilgal HaDvarim that ended up with the Shibud Mitzrayim and finally Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it says the word kos there four times. Okay, so we have four cups of wine. It's a different source. The most famous one, though, again, the one that Rashi and Rashbam quote on the page in the Bavli and Psochem, is that it corresponds to these four languages over here. It's interesting, the Netziv in the Hamikdash over here in Parshas Va'era quotes a kasha from the Mordechai in the back of Psochem, and in Parak Arvei Psochem there are a couple of different There's the regular Mordechai, there's something called Seder, he has a Seder B'Ktzara, it's also called Tosfos or Tosefos Ma'arvei Psachim. So in the Tosefos or Tosfos Ma'arvei Psachim section, he raises the question, how do you get from these four Lashonot HaGula, you have to have four cups of wine? Yeah, you have something for, but maybe you should have four pieces of matzah, maybe you should have four pieces of meat. And who says, you know, the Pasuk with the, for example, with the Sarah Mashkim, so it's talking about wine. Good, so that's a good remez, four cups. It says the word kos four times. It's talking about wine. But here, how do you have, that's the Mordechai's kasha, how do you have, and all the Arba Lashon Sagula express is that there's some connection number four. And maybe the number four should be something else, four pieces of matzah. We have a tough time eating three pieces of matzah, but okay, you have four pieces of matzah, have four bites of the carbon pesach, whatever it is, you can have other things that are forced. And the Tziv has an interesting suggestion. And he points out, explaining the words, just take a look if you have the time, the Hamek Dover here on these psukim. So the Tziv says that actually, you know, other things you eat, other types of foods or drinks, you eat, you drink, so you get full. But wine has a progressive impact on your mind, right? Each cup you drink, we know that alcohol has a certain progressive impact on a person, aside from making you more full. So he says, he examines the words, Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't happen, you know, in one shot, poof, they came out of Mitzrayim. It was a process. First, and we know Midrashim tell us that first they were relieved from some of the duties and other things that happened over time, happened in a process. So the words, Otsesi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, Nitziv says, a process. So there's nothing that symbolizes a process in terms of food and drink. There's nothing that symbolizes a process of an effect or an impact like wine. That's an interesting Nitziv. Okay, so what I'd like to look at is something that relates to the Mitzvah Arba Kosos. But also relates to Hanukkah and also relates to Purim. We find an interesting common denominator with regard to the chova of women in the mitzvahs of Arba Kosos and also Mikra Megillah and Purim. And Hanukkah is kind of right in the middle now on the calendar. I'd like to share something of thoughts from Moshe Soloveitchik and some from the Rav as well on this subject. The Gemara in Shabbos, not Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Shabbos says that women have to light Hanukkah candles also, and the Rambam, we're not saying it directly, the Rambam in Perek Dal of Hilchos Chanukah Halacha, Megillah Chanukah Halacha Tes lists off the people whose lighting is ineffectual, and women are not on that list. So women, we assume, have to light Chanukah candles, and the Shulchan Aruch passes that way in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, Tov Reish Ayin Hey rather, in the Hilchos, in Arachayim Hilchos Chanukah and Siman Gimel. And the standard reason given is Afein Hayu Baos Hanes. Afein Hayu Baos Hanes. What exactly does that mean, Afein Hayu Baos Hanes? And we have this parallel Gemara in Psachim on Daf Kuvches relating to Arba Kosos, and a parallel Gemara in Megillah Daf Dalet relating to Mikra Megillah. All these mitzvahs, women are obligated in because Afein Hayu Ba'osa Anes. Rashi, you look at Megillah Shabbos first. That's the first in the order of the Shas. So the Shabbos Chav Gimel Aleph. The Rashi there says that the Gzera at the time, part of the Gzera, the time of Hanukkah, was any woman who, any Besula, any virgin who wants to get married, first has to sleep with the Greek nobleman. It was a way of showing lordship and showing control. Any woman had to shetibola tafsa trila, and that's one thing. And then Rashi also says that's one reason. In other words, it was a gzeir against all women. So afein hayu baos hanes, when the salvation came about, so women were also spared from this ignominious decree. And the other thing is that ayde isha nasu hanes, a woman played an active role in bringing about the nes. The Ran on the Rif there in Shabbos, and if you don't read off on the page of the Rif, says that the reference to Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, his daughter, was elsewhere identified in another Tosis, in Megillah, is identified as Yehudis, is her name. So she somehow seduced sort of a story similar to the story of Yael and the mother and Sisera, you know, Yael and Sisera, and it's in the story of Parash B'Shalach, and Sefer Shoftim, and Nach, and Novi, that she somehow came upon this fellow, and she got him to fall asleep, and she killed him. And that demoralized the troops. So that's how the Ran says that she fed him gvina. Some people have a minute to eat milchigs on Hanukkah because she fed him milchig food and he fell asleep and she chopped his head off. And the Gemara has him the same thing. Kuv chesem and aleph, going over to kuv chesem and beizim psachim. Women are chayav and arba kosu, can afein hobos. Hanes, and the Gemara Megillah said Dav Dalet has the same thing with Mikra Megillah. So Tosis asks in Megillah Dav Dalet and also in psachim Dav Kuv Ches. Tosis raised the kasha. First of all, they bring the Rashbam. This really says the other pshat. He emphasized the Ikar HaNeis. In all of these three situations, the Ikar HaNeis was done by women. But the Lashon of Afein Hayu Baos HaNeis sounds like, well, kind of secondarily, women are also obligated, right? Af, they too. Af means also. also. That's why someone is, okay, whatever decrees there were, let's say the Shiva in Mitzrayim was against women also. The decree against of Haman was against women also. It says, Mashmah lahar gahabit is kol ha-yehudim inar v'zachim tafenoshim, the Pasuk of Megillah. Right? So whatever would happen in Purim, whatever the decree of Haman was, whatever the decree of Antiochus and the Greeks were, it impacted women too. In some ways, maybe more so because of the women, the Msulos had to sleep with the Tafsar, with the Greek. But again, the decrees. So Afhein ha-yehudim, so they were also. Rashbam chooses to say it's more than Afhein, they played a dramatic role. We just said with regards to Hanukkah, Yehudis played this more dramatic role. With regards to Purim, so Esther obviously was the heroine of the story. And with regards to Pesach, the Gemara says in Sotan, Daf Yir Aleph, that Bishchus Noshim Tzidkonios Nigal Avosenim Mitzrayim. That the reason our ancestors merited Yitzias Mitzrayim was in the merit of the women. Remember from last week said, right, that the men divorced their wives. Amram divorced Yocheved, the men divorced their wives. He said, what are we going to have children if they just going to suffer? And then Miriam convinced her father, what do you mean? Your decree is worse than Paradise. Right? That was last week's Seder. And so therefore he took her back. We married Yocheved and so on. But it's chusna, the women had greater emuna. In fact, the Medrash tells us elsewhere in the end of Chumash Shmos, when it was time to build the Mishkan, so Medrash says the women donated the Maros Hatzovos. Maros Hatzovos, like mirrors, the copper mirrors, where you can see reflection. And that was the kior was made out of those maros. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was initially hesitant to accept that, because after all, mirrors are used for vanity, you know, to make to doll yourself up. It's appropriate to bring the Beis Hamikdash, something which was used for, you know, for self beautification and for vanity. And then the Medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, these are the most precious gifts, because this is what kept the Bnei Yisrael alive in Mitzrayim. The women would doll themselves up, they'd look in the mirror, they made themselves look attractive, and made themselves attractive to the husbands. So the husband wanted to be with them, and they had children. So the Maros Hatzovos was the most precious gift, so to speak. This gift was suitable for the Mishkan because this is what kept the Jewish people going. So Bishchus Noshim Tzidkonios Nigal Avosenim Mitzrayim. So in all three cases." With Yehudis by Hanukkah, with Esther by Purim, with the Moshe Tzidkonios by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Women not only just stam impacted or saved, but also they played a dramatic role. The Yerushalmi has a lashon different. Doesn't say Afhein Habos Anes, Afhein Habos Atzora. So that sounds like, you know, that's more like the first way. That though they're also better. Either way, we have the fact that women are obligated in the mitzvah. Good. So Tosis there, both in Shabbos and in. Sorry, in Megillah and in Pesachim, not in Shabbat, have to look, raise the kasha, if this is true, so why don't we say that women are obligated to eat matzah on Pesach also? The truth is, we do. Okay, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Gimel, says that women are obligated to eat matzah on Pesach, a totally different reason, because we have a hekesh, right? The kosher yeshna bebal tochel chometz, yeshna bekum echol matzah. Sometimes we have Gemaras that women, even though, the whole idea is it's a time bound mitzvah says Eishas Man Grama, so women should be exempt. So why aren't women exempt from matzah? So that's an exception. The Gemara has such a limit by Kiddush, right? Gemara Brachos Nafchav, Gemara says that by Kiddush, women, even though Kiddush, Friday night, regular Friday night, Kiddush is a mitzvah says Eishas Man Grama. I don't make Kiddush tonight. Zman Grama means that it only applies at a certain time of year, or only applies at a certain time of day, or whatever. So there's no Kiddush tonight, Thursday night. But there is a Kiddush on Pesach, on Shabbat, Friday night. So the Gemara says, women should be exempt from Kiddush. No, because the Gemara says, Zohar v'Shomor, right, our heads and tails are the same coin, like we say in Lechadodi, Shomor v'Zohar b'dibur echad. Because I'll tell us that the Kadosh Baruch Hu said the two things at the same time. What was the purpose of that? Just to show off? A trick? He can do a trick. We can't do. A person can talk fast. No one can talk that fast. They can say two words at the same time. So what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? To show whoever is obligated in Shmira. And women are only exempt from mitzvahs. Let's say shazman grom, not mitzvahs losa. Say, even a time bound mitzvahs losa, women have to keep the same as men. So whoever has to keep shmirah, shmirah is understood to mean the losa says of Shabbos. Whoever has to keep the losa says of Shabbos has to keep the assays of Shabbos also. So male women have to make kiddush also, 100%. Yeah. Oh, so the Gemara has a limud not that was said at the same time, but the Gemara says since the iser tit chometz is linked in the pasuk, the same pasuk. Same area in the Torah as the mitzvahs to yes eat matzah, so the Gemara draws an equation: kol sheyeshno bal tochal chometz. Whoever is obligated not to eat chometz, women are obligated not to eat chometz. They're not allowed to eat chometz because that's the mitzvahs losa said they have to keep the same as men. So the mitzvahs they're not allowed to eat chometz. Whoever said not eat chometz has to yes eat matzah. But Tosfos is it? What do you need that whole limit for? want to just say, you know why women have to eat matzah on Pesach? Because the mitzvah says, it's matzah celebrates, matzah zol shumon, right? We say, matzah because it wasn't enough time for our bread to bake. It came out of Mitzvah, good, so women should be obligated in matzah the same way, because afein hoyu b'osaneis. Or toast is the same kasha. What about tefillin? What about tefillin? Women should be obligated in tefillin also. At least, now that's a whole discussion, not for now. But maybe that chiyu is al koponim d'rabbanan. Maybe because you could argue the three places where the Gemara says afein hoyu b'osaneis is by Arba Kosos and by Mikra Megillah and by Ner Chanukah. All those are d'rabbanans. So that's a question. Does afein hoyu b'osaneis work by d'oraisa too? You simply read the Tosis, you could say, well, the Tosis is asking about matzah, and Tosis is asking about tzolah, whereas by deraisa. Or you could say, no, it doesn't work, but at least it obligates them drabonon in that mitzvah. Maybe at least it should obligate them drabonon in that mitzvah. Okay, that's for discussion some other time, but you hear what I'm saying, right? Maybe al koponon should obligate drabonon. Okay? Because tzolah is also connected to Yitzis and Rhyme, because one of the parshas tzolah, we have next week's set, parshas bo. It says, "Ki biyor chazaka utziachosh." Veshamat, you know, biyor chazaka sheutziach Hashem Mitzrayim. So tefillin also relates to Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's that long Ramban, that famous Ramban. He has the very end of Parshas Bo. I always tell people, if you haven't read that Ramban, read it. If you haven't read it recently, read it. It's good, very important. The Sotah Dikra Ramban, the last Ramban and Bo. It's your homework assignment. Yeah. But anyway, to take a look, very, very Yisodas Dikra Ramban. Among other things, discuss why we have so many things that is Eichin Yitzias Mitzrayim and other important Yisodas. But anyway, be that as it may. You could ask, why is, what about the tefillin? You could ask, what about sukkah? Because sukkah also says, the whole reason of the man yedid or the parsha demo, right? The whole reason for sukkah is the man yedid or sechem. Kibbutz sukkah shavti has been yisrael ba'otzi yisrael ba'otzi yisrael. Okay, so that's the question. So, there are different answers, but I'd like to share Rav Moshe Soloveitchik quoted from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, the following approach. He said there's a difference between a mitzvah where the mitzvah itself is a manifestation of Pursumi Nisa, is advertising the Nes. The mitzvah itself is a means of declaring the Nes. And a mitzvah where the Nes may be the motivating factor behind the establishment of the mitzvah, but it's not in its fundamental sense a mitzvah that's publicizing the miracle. In other words, there's some mitzvahs which, with the essence of the mitzvah, so to speak, inherently, this mitzvah is a mitzvah which publicizes the Nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we say, Afein Hayu Ba'osan Nes. But a mitzvah which may have been instituted to connect to or to relate to or that has to do with the Nes, there we don't say, Afein Hayu Ba'osan Nes. That's as you saw. Okay? So, for example, just to the assumed, let's say, Arba Kos on Pesach, the Gemara says it's to demonstrate Cheirus. That itself is a testament to our freedom, right? That is public. So we're free people. You don't need them. But wine is, the Gemara says, why do you use wine? Okay, because wine is something which, demonstrates you make a toast, right? To this day, people have a get-together, they make a toast. You don't make a toast. That's a whole question, not for now, but you're allowed to use grape juice for abricosos. And Moshe Feinstein thinks not. He thinks that it has to be something that's more chashivas than grape juice. Because it's a toast. You don't make a toast. You ever go to a dinner and make a toast? And everyone lifts up your grape juice. They have champagne. You have wine. You have the best stuff. All right, what if a person doesn't like wine? I mean, I think most people can assume that grape juice is okay. I personally don't like wine. I drink wine for the abricosas. I do. I drink wine for Kiddush. I drink wine on Purim. But I always tell people who ask me the shayla, they can drink grape juice. Rabbi Rav said, of Salvation, saying it's grape juice. Rabbi Kotler saying it's grape juice. Because other rabbis should be something you enjoy. Cheres means you should, demonstrate your freedom. This is what you enjoy. Moshe writes, it's true, but butler diet. We're not trying to get sick. I don't like wine. I don't get sick from it. It doesn't bother me. I just don't care for it. People bring me wine and pour them whatever, and I say, these fancy bottles, and I say, thank you very much. Give it to someone who appreciates it. To me, it all tastes like mouthwash. I just don't care for it. It doesn't do it for me, But, people have all these expensive wines. There's some who hold, I always tell this story, there's some who hold that every day of Chalamoid, at least sukkahs, you should have wine. The mitzvah of simcha on Yatav. Maybe Pesach may be different because there's one big mitzvah of simcha, but sukkahs, you remember, has every day a different mitzvah of simcha, perhaps. Shechter writes about this in his Sefer. You know what I'm talking about? Sorry. Right. Huh? No, so there's a mitzvah, as I'll very briefly. The Gemara discusses why on Pesach we say halal only once. Right? I forget the chatzi halal, but that's Tzvadim don't say with a bracha, right? One halal covers the whole Pesach, and Sukkot say halal every day. The Gemara says different reason, but one is chaluk, the Gemara says chaluk, and Medrash has different answers. More with Chris Yamsuf and so on, we have mercy on the Egyptians, but the Gemara says in Erech and Dafyod, says that each day is chaluk and we're coming to say, and every day is like a new yontif, so to speak. So part of yontif is to have wine and flesh, right? So some people say it applies on chalamoid also. Not just on yontif we do, but on chalamoid also. And maybe Chalamoid Pesach, we could say Pesach, maybe we owe to it. Certainly every day of Sukkot. So some people are Makbis. I try to be Makbis. I remember when I was a young man, so I was in my parents' home. So, I was in my father's Sukkot, Father Hashem. So I walked into the Sukkot, whatever, I poured myself a glass of wine. And I guess when I drank it, I must have grimaced a little bit. And my father, who knew the Shikol Torah, said, "Oh, the simcha is written all over your face. You can really see that simcha. What simcha?" But anyway, but lemaisa, but the wine is a demonstration of cheres. That's in the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara calls it you have to be yotzei de cheres. Okay, so that's a mitzvah which in essence connects directly. I mean, you could argue matzah too, but on the other hand, matzah, you know, the other reasons for matzah is also zekah to the shibud, right? That's an interesting discussion in its own right. Why do matzah and Pesach? Because in the Rabbi Gamliel, we say at the end of the Haggadah, because the end of Magid, because we came out. But also, halach ma'ana diachala v'sana ba'arav Mitzrayim. That was poor man's food, right? It was a cheap food, right? Matzah was what they ate. It was slave food. Because now it's $35 a pound, but it used to be cheap, right? It's what is it? It's flour and water. It's a cheap food. That's what they gave to the prisoners. And as we know, Pesach, we know this by the third day of Pesach for sure, stays in your stomach a long time, right? When you eat matzah. So that was a good food to give to, it filled you up and it kept you going for a couple of days, you know. So in fact, the Ruch HaShem, one place, quote, the Ruch HaShem, the Rishon quotes from the Ibn Ezra, I think. Ibn Ezra traveled around. He was in India someplace, finally got arrested. Not the trouble, you know, whatever happened, they were probably set up, framed, whatever. He was thrown into prison and they fed him matzah. Not because it was Pesach, that was the food he gave the prisoners. So matzah is less directly a food of cheres, but wine. Wine is a fancy drink. So wine has to do with cheres, has to do with the nes, rather. On Hanukkah, obviously, we know from Hanukkah, presuming Nisa is one of the big in honor of Hanukkah. We light in public where people can see, that's obviously a big, and the whole Torah to know how the Roah has to know how many nights, right? Pentosis discusses you have to know what night it is. That's a presuming Nisa, we don't have to document how important that is to Hanukkah. And Rick and Megill also, we read the Megill out loud, that's also presuming Nisa. So those mitzvahs, there we're going to say that the essence of the mitzvah, the tachlis of the mitzvah, presuming Nisa. So there we're going to say, Afein Haribos HaNesa, the Moshe Salavichim. But other mitzvahs, yeah, tefillin, okay, relates to Yisrael Mitzrayim, and that Ramban in the bowl lists other things, and matzah, okay, sukkah, but it's not inherently necessarily a declaration. Sukkah is a little harder to, you know, to explain away, but also sometimes people eat outdoors, we say sukkah areva, so it's less, it's less direct. That's the Moshe Salvechi Sisod, but we only say Afeinu Bosanes by mitzvahs, where the essence of the mitzvahs is to mefaris in the nes, and not just as something directly or a side thing to do with the nes. Matter of fact, the Ramosha added, or actually the Rav Salvechi himself and the Rav added, that, you know, on Hanukkah we say Hallel, right? All 8 days of Hanukkah. That's the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud, says there's certain days a year we say the full Hallel. So 2 days of Pesach and 2 days in Chutzarts. 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, one of each in Eretz Yisrael. Then 9 days in Chutzarts on Sukkot, including Shemat Seres and Mustar. 8 days in Eretz Yisrael and the 8 days of Hanukkah. So, but the fact of the matter is that women are, we assume, exempt from saying Hallel on Hanukkah. Women are exempt from Hallel on Hanukkah. Why is that? Adarabba, it's a little difficult. That's how Rambam Paskin, that women. They're exempt from Per Gimel Halacha Yudal of Chanukah, where the Rambam discusses Halal in general. The women are exempt from Halal Chanukah. Now, the Halal at the Seder, we say Halal at the Seder also, right? So Tosin Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches says that women are obligated in Halal at the Seder. You know why? Afein Haribos HaNes. Tosin gives that reason. It's not the Gemara. But Tosin gives that reason, okay, that they're obligated. So again, so the Rav said that because there the Halal at the Seder is the Halal HaNes. That's what the halal is. In fact, the first part of halal we say at the end of Magid, right? We split the halal. We say halal the first two paragraphs. We say that at the, that's like hadlokas neres on Hanukkah. Saying halal shachris on Hanukkah So that's like halal on Sukkah. It's like halal on other Yom Tovim. So there, the women are exempt. So that's not that. When it's part of the Haggadah, it's part of the Nisim, you know, we say, it's a whole, think of the end of Magid. I mean, we're still a couple months from Pesach. We think of the end of Magid. We say, right, the Bechol Dover Dor Chayav Adon Yotzasma Kiru Atzma Yotzam Yisrayim. And Leficha Chanei Chayav Lahodos, right? That's the flow. We take the Mishnayos, you know, in our Pesachim, and we build it into the Haggadah. That's the flow of the text. We say we're supposed to view ourselves as we personally came out of Mitzrayim. That's the challenge. That's what they say, that Velvet Salvation, that's the hardest mitzvah, Pesach night, not the matzah, not the morning. But to view yourself as you personally came out of Mitzrayim, that's the challenge. So you have to view yourself like you personally came out, and therefore, you personally have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what some raise the question, the Ran in the back of Pesachim raises the kasha. There's certain unusual things about the halal at the Seder. First of all, the fact we split it up altogether. Right? We split the halal at the Seder. We say the first two paragraphs earlier in the end of Magid, say the less the halal later on. What's that? We can't do that by regular halal. A regular halal on Rosh Chodesh, let's say on Sukkot, or on Pesach itself, you don't have a kiddush, and you stop after the first two paragraphs, you don't have a kiddush now. You have a big kiddush, and go finish halal. Halal in Mafsik and halal. Baruch Baruch is in the second we discussed it. So what kind? And also we don't say halal. We sit for halal at the Pesach Seder. We don't stand there. And why is it no bracha? All kinds of questions. But the answer is the Ran basically says the halal on Pesach night is not b'toras. It's b'toras omer shir. It's a different thing altogether. It's almost supposed to be spontaneous. That's what some read. Why is there no bracha on halal at the Seder? Because it's supposed to be almost like a spontaneous overflowing of thanks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what halal at the Seder is. Okay, we just went through the whole Sipri Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and now we say, wow, this, I'm supposed to be myself as I personally, how can I not say thank you? You make a bracha, it almost takes away, if you think about it. You know, that's like the kid gets a present from his grandmother for his birthday, so mom says you have to send grandma, you know, call grandma and thank her, you know. Hi, grandma, mom told me I got to call you up and thank you. Well, isn't that what we do? We make a bracha? All right, I share kiddush. I have to say halal. I'll say halal. Right, it's more spontaneous. Is you not say a bracha in a certain sense. Anyway, getting back to this at the Leila Seder, so the halal women are obligated. That's how Tosa says. Again, the Gemara doesn't. The Tosa brings up Bafein Avos Hanes. But it's not going to work for the rest of halal. We say in the morning. That's like a regular dinner of halal. So women are exempt from that. Yeah.
Why is a regular dinner of halal not persimmonious?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. But again, it is. But it's shira. There's nothing inherent about it. It's we're singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you can really ask that on anything, but it's not inherently. I say halal, and we do say a bracha, right? We say halal. Okay, it's a general type of an expansion of Sukkah. It's almost as expanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying Talal HaMitzvah, we're thanking, but it's not between these and the same. You can ask, but that, anyway, that was Yisod. Okay, that was his Yisod. Good. Then, Ramoshi Esped, and we'll, maybe with your question in mind, so how do we talk and know? It's like I'm splitting hairs here a little bit, right? I mean, how do you talk a no? Because Sukkah, you could also say, isn't that also? I mean, why do we sit in a Sukkah? You know, so I gave a, yeah, Sukkah, sometimes people like to eat outdoors anyway. Not in this weather, but I mean, some people in the summer or in the spring, even the fall, early fall, like to eat outside anyway. But the Most Salvation said, you can tell what's actually a mitzvah, presuming nisim, what's not, by the presence of the bracha, she'osa nisim lavosena, b'mehem b'zman hazeh. Both by Mikra Megillah and by near Chanukah, one of the brachas we recite is we call attention to the nes. She'asa nisim lavoseinu b'yomehem b'zman hazeh. Then we're saying that this bracha is a manifestation or thanks. She'asa nisim. You hear? Now you ask me, by Pesach. We don't say she'asa nisim by Pesach at the Seder, okay, before the Arba Kosos. But the truth of the matter is that somebody, I think the Buddha, somebody Shona mentioned, if you think about it for a moment, in the bracha at the end of Magid, before the second kos. The first kos, you know, it's not as blatant. First kos is Kiddush. So we can make Kiddush every Friday night and every Yontif, not unique to the Seder. It becomes unique that there's Arba Kos by the second kos. The bracha of Asher Ge'olonu, which is based in the Mishnah, and at the end of Magid, right, the bracha has a text, Asher Ge'olonu, Be'golos HaVasenu Mitzvahim, but Asolonu is called Nisim Alalu. So we don't. Some Rishonim already said we don't make a separate bracha she'asa nisim on Pesach the Seder because we have that same phrase more or less incorporated into a different bracha the Seder. Yeah.
Kind of the taste that Rabbi mentioned earlier about tefillin.
Yeah.
We would make a she'asa nisim on tefillin or something like that.
I mean, if it were, no, that's his point. Since there's no she'asa, that's why it's not. That's why it's takanat to afeinu bosa. We don't apply it. We apply afeinu bosa only by a mitzvah which is inherently thanks for a nace. And how do we know? The bracha of shalas
nisim. No, but that according to
Havamina. Okay, I don't know if you take it that far, but you could say if it would have been there, maybe we would have. Hard to imagine, but but the Maisa, we only say shalas nisim taka by Chanukah and Purim. That's the only time we do it. And now what are we adding is. It's not me. I mean, Rishon would say that we do have such a concept that we don't say Shalos HaNisim because, it's a good kasha. Sometimes the kids come home with those questions. It's not a bad question to ask them to say, why is it here? We're talking all night about the Lashon of the Rambam in the Hilchos Chametz Chametz. We talked to the Seder in Paragraph 9. He says, Mitzvah Semen HaTorah, L'saper B'Nisim Niflos, right? That's the whole Seder, Nisim Niflos. Yeah, it would make sense at the Seder to attack say Shalos HaNisim. Right, I mean, that would be a good bracha, I would think, to build into the Seder. So some Rishonim say, Enochanami. But since we have this other text, Asher Gaon Regalos HaSeno, we include in that phrase, which is similar in Lashon, so that we don't say it. To take it a step further, you can argue with the who says that's about the Arba Kosas. Right? Maybe that's going on in Magid, which Asher Gaon is. He writes to the second coast, it's true. But it's interesting, this the Rav pointed out, I think his father pointed out, there is a piyut. Most people don't say Yotzus nowadays. Okay, there are not too many shuls say Yotzus nowadays. Some of them are very nice. I didn't say my shul either. I actually like the Maravios, the night ones. They're very, very busy. I don't know about that. You know what that is? If you take a look next time you have an art school matzah. For Yom Shol Shagom, Pesach, whatever. And some people insert just the two little lines, actually one longer one by the Bracha of Gal Yisrael. Piyutim. Okay, it's fallen out of favor. I think by the Chassidish community still do it. Some Chassidish. Actually, if you remember, I don't know what year you were there. I took every year a group of boys from MTA to Poland.
Is there one in there?
Were you there the year when we davened at the big shul in Parshas Chodesh? Maybe you remember this.
We davened at the big shul.
So one year we were there. It was Parshas Par or Parshas Chodesh, one or the other. And a very fascinating shul. This is in Krakow. The crack, of course, has the Ramor shul. The Ramor shul is very small. It's, I don't think, maybe half the size of this section there. It's very small. The Ramor shul is small, right? The Ramor shul is very small. Ramor shul is very small. So there's a big shul there called the Isaac shul, which is where everybody davens. Those who come for a weekend, whatever, to Krakow for Shabbos, they daven there. And you have, if you remember, every which type of Jew there. There were chassidim there, which trimals, there were yeshivish guys, there were MTA guys with it. A lot of Israelis with no yarmulke, the girls were wearing pants, they came in some group, March the Living type of group, they open shirts. So I don't exactly know who's in charge of the Chabad guy. There was every witch, and everyone davened together. Remember, we danced afterwards. It was very beautiful. It was very beautiful. Everyone was together. It was very nice. But I told the boys, it may not have been you yet, that it's Parshas Purim. And it works, the Chassidish fellows, they said, I don't know who's davening for the Amid. But it could be a Chassidish guy davening for the Amid. And they say, yo, so I showed everybody, I told them, in the city, that's what they're doing. In case you're wondering why it's taking so long time to get to Kedusha, from the beginning of Chazor HaShatz, because they say Yotzes. And Taka, that's what happened. The Chassidish guy davened for the Yomim. Baal Musaf was an Israeli, from Israeli, but, short sleeve white shirt Israeli, no jacket or anything. And he, by after Yom Kippur, recited the Tefillah L'Shom HaMedina. So I was wondering at the time if there's any other shul on earth. But they say both Yotzes and the Tefillah Shom HaMedina. Those two things don't tend to go together, I think, in too many places. But anyway, so there's Yotzes, there's Piyutim for Shabbos HaGadol as well. You can look at printed the regular, you don't even need them, for this you don't need a machzor, the regular art school daily sitter. The regular art school, not daily, but the Shabbos, the regular art school sitter, Yitzchak, Yor, things. You look in the back, you see Yotzes. So the Yotzes for, one of the Yotzes for Shabbos HaGadol is called the Lekei Ruchos, which has actually, and I personally have the practice that on Shabbos, we don't do it in my shul. I wouldn't go over big, but I don't do it in my shul. But on Shabbos HaGadol afternoon, I read that because it has a chazara of Hilchos Pesach, including Hagolas Kelim, just in poetic form. Just to read through it. It's a very nice thing to get you in a frame of mind, before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol afternoon. So I'm not telling you to do it, I'm telling you what I do. But in this piyut, the Lekei Ruchos, it says, in the Lekei Ruchos, the language is, by the first cup, and then it talks about the, getting rid of chometz, and it's actually, we don't paskin like it's written by one of the Balei HaTosfos, Yosef Tovelin, this Elokei Ruchos piyut, and we don't paskin like everything that's in here, but it's considered an authoritative source, for halacha. Just so we don't paskin like everything it says over there. But anyway, it says that when we come to the first cup, again, it starts with with, you know, searching for chametz and kasher and kelim and nice, how to, you know, again, a poetic form. And then it mentions the Seder night. So it says you make Kiddush in the first kos. And he said, the law, I forgot the exact language. Is our article sitting here? I don't even read it. I don't have to yet. Take my word for it. You can look it up later. But it's not a lot. Sometimes it's do that. But I, if I'm not mistaken, it has a language that we don't aim bevarchin alanis adayim. We don't yet make the bracha alanis, meaning alanisim. We don't, adayim means yet, Kiddush. We don't yet say the bracha alanisim because we're going to say it later on in Asher Golan. So you see from that period, again, from one of the Balei Tosfos, you see that it's you know, that the mitzvah of Arba, and relates to the first cup, no, we're going to say it by the second cup. So it does relate to the Arba Kosis, even though we don't have the exact bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, but you have, you do have this concept that it's Ala Nisim, so that, those are the brachas that, you know, that was the suggestion of Salvation as to how we can tell when it's a mitzvah that's fundamentally a mitzvah of Afei Na'ir Tosaneis, as opposed to, you know, with the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. As a related side point, you know, the Gemara says, it talks about Haseba, which relates to the Arba Kos, reclining at the Seder, right? You have to recline. And that's also Din Darbanan. It's also Darbanan. And the Gemara says that women shouldn't do Haseba unless they're important women, Isha Chashuva. And the Ramah paskins that our wives are Ishahim. Almost played it safe, right? He said all women are important. Okay, yeah, satisfied everybody. But the mice, I think the more widespread women, in practical women, don't do a Seba today. Why not? Not because they're not important. So the standard reason was, there is a shita from the Rav Yo, okay, one of the Rishonim, Rav Yo, who says that in general, there's no need for a Seba anymore today. Why? Because that's not the way wealthy, free people eat. Nobody reclines. It's just not done today. Okay, you know, in the Roman Empire, you know, you see in the movies or whatever, the guy lying on his couch, you know, when the girls are dropping grapes in his mouth or whatever it is, right? And someone else is fanning him. Okay, that's how it used to be. But now, I mean, you know, you go to a state dinner, I don't know, be rude. Imagine going to prison, I'm going to sit back over here, you know. So the Rav Yo, one of the Rishonim said that he posits that perhaps the mitzvah of the Seba shouldn't apply anymore. Say it again. To anybody. That's his suggestion. Because after all, it's not a demonstration of chayyim. Wine still is a demonstration of chayyim, but not a seba. What a right, we don't pasken like the Rav Yo. We don't pasken like him. We do a seba. We pasken and still do a seba today. So people say, oh, the women pasken like Rav Yo. You know why? Because his name ended with a hey. Why should women pasken? The komatz hey. That's what women should pasken. What does it mean? So that, I think that either, I'm not sure whether the Rav said this. I heard it, but I don't remember he was saying this in the name. His own or his father, Moshe. He said, no, that's the point. Not that we're in Paschal like the Rav Yo. But he's saying that men don't Paschal like the Rav Yo because we do mitzvahs, which are even a zecher to the nates. It is a zecher, right? It's a zecher. It's true that nowadays we don't recline. But we do it anyway because at one time people did it kind of as a zecher. Yeah, but according to this Yisod, women do only the mitzvahs were the mitzvah itself. And since the Rav Yo is right, I mean, he's right in principle, it's not a demonstration of chayrus, of freedom. So therefore, the women don't do it. You follow? There's an added twist. In other words, the Haseba, women are putter, a paskal, quote-unquote, like the Rav Yo, because what he said is correct. Okay, it's not a demonstration of a zecher. Okay, men do it, and we do a zecher. But what our yisod here is that women don't do things which are a zecher letzias mitzrayim. Tefillin also is a zecher letzias mitzrayim. Matzah is also a zecher. But we said that women don't do that. They only do the things which are inherently an example of prisum anis, an example of we're doing it to publicize anis. Since Haseba nowadays no longer serves that function, so that's why women, quote-unquote, paskan like Rav Yo. That's a side point to it. Now it's interesting. Another point that the Rav made. This is based on what his father said. You know, mentions the following interesting dents. As we told him Pesach, but let's move back a second to Chanukah. The Gemara says that if a Shechera Shota cotton, right, lights the Chanukah candle doesn't count. Okay, and the Rambam paskens that we perek dalal chetes v'chas Chanukah. Shofarachim tofrei shayna aesiv gimel. Chayr shod v'katan the light on the candles. They can do it, but it doesn't count for the mitzvah. Okay, But the Mechaber writes that some say that if it's a cotton shegil chinuch, then it does work. And his lighting will, could, I mean, our meaning among Ashkenazim is everybody lights anyway, but I'm saying, let's say the bear mitzvah or the, so one, there's one menorah in the house, like the Sfaradim do, one menorah in the house, right? So according to the Mechaber, if it's a cotton shegil chinuch, his lighting works. And Bimotzi Gedolim also, that's the point. Bimotzi others also. Okay? And the Mishnah Berurah points out in the Achronim that it's a little interesting because in Siman Tov Reish Pei Tes and Hilchos Purim, Hilchos Megillah and Hilchos Purim, the Shulchan Aruch rules based on the Gemara that if you hear the Megillah read by a Cheresh who's deaf, but he, let's say he can read, or a Cheresh holder of a cotton who could read it, you got to have a cotton who could read it. The kid's 12, he learned how to lane or whatever. Okay? So we'd be no good. And there, he doesn't say, but if it's a cotton Shegillah Chinuch, it's good enough. It's just saying, the Mishnah points out, I don't think it's steer exactly, but it's a difference, okay? And, you know, that's a question. Why should it be the chiluk, right? And that's why the Mishnah Berurah leans to say that he thinks by Ner Chanukah, it also shouldn't work by a cotton shegila chenuch. It should be parallel to Purim. It should be parallel to Purim. The Rambam makes a big fuss in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah by drawing the parallel between the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah and the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Not for now, but to take a look. So that's the Mishnah Berurah. The Rav suggested the following chiluk, based on something again that the Rav Soloveitchik said. Women are obligated, he said, in Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, based on what? Based on the Pursumin Nisa aspect of Chanukah, because Afein Hoyu Bosanis. Afein Hoyu Bosanis. Okay? That, so to speak, is not the same as the man's obligation in Chanukah. A man's obligation is to takana d'rabbanan, have to light Chanukah candles. And we're not interested in the background of what caused it. There is Pursumin Nisa, and that's a whole discussion, it's separate. But the point is that Mikra Megillah also, you know, Mikra Megillah, let's say, Mikra Megillah, men are obligated to read the Megillah, right? Or to hear the Megillah. Not because Afein of other things, according to this approach, a bit of a flip along, you know, that, oh, they also have to do it. But they're not obligated in the essential mitzvah. They're obligated in the mitzvah because of what we might call, you know, a side reason. A side reason. Afein hayu bo sanes. So therefore, you could argue as follows, okay? The rule of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is that you can only be motzi in the Mishnah Gemara in Taf Chav Tes, the Mishnah Gemara in Taf Chav Tes, Amud Aleph, Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third parak. The Gemara says, you can only be motzi somebody in the mitzvah if you're at least on the same level of obligation as that person. Right? You can't be motzi somebody if you're not on the same level of obligation. So therefore, by Mikra Megillah, a woman's obligation is not the same. The mitzvah, the woman's obligated based on Afein Hobo Sanis. That's not the same obligation. Okay, it's almost like a secondary, secondary may be too strong a word, but it's a side. So it's also maybe not the right word, I'm not sure the right word, but it's not the same obligation. Okay, so therefore, that's why a woman can't be madlik for, I'm sorry, can't read the Megillah for a man. What about Chanukah? What about Chanukah? That's the case, shouldn't work for Chanukah either. Same thing. So here, where the Rav had a whole yisod for a different time, but he said that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah really is not so much the Maisa Hadlaka, but rather there should be candles burning in the house. It has to be, as the biscuit, has to be candles which were lit by somebody who was a Bar Chiyuva, but the essential nature of Ner Chanukah is that there should be Shetiu Neros Dolkos, there should be candles burning in the house. And many riots, it is as riots from an Achsonoi, somebody's not home, but if somebody else, if someone lit in the house, that counts. They're not even there. They won't even be there, but it's a counts on me also. Because there's a mitzvah the mitzvah to have candles burning in the house. Ner ish ubeso. So Mamela, anybody who is, but you have to create a cheftza that's called the Ner Chanukah. Okay, the only person who created a cheftza Ner Chanukah is somebody who has an obligation. So now, a woman does have an obligation, namely, Afein Hobo Sanis. That's enough for her to be able to create a cheftz of Ner Chanukah. Once the cheftz of Ner Chanukah exists, now the husband's also potter based on that, if he's not home or if he's only one person. Because it was created by somebody who has an obligation. It's not the same obligation, it doesn't matter. When do we insist on it being the same obligation when you're being motzi somebody in the Maisa HaMitzvah? If I'm being motzi somebody in the Maisa HaMitzvah, then it's got to be someone's on the same level of obligation as I am. But when it's not the Maisa HaDloka that's the ikur, but rather the candle's burning, you have to create a Chavtza Shal Mitzvah near Hanukkah. So a male, a woman, can create a Chavtza Mitzvah near Hanukkah too. Her obligation is not the same. What's the difference? She is obligated. Is she obligated near Hanukkah? Yeah. Then she can create a Chavtza near Hanukkah. And that chetz will work even for someone whose obligation may be different. But it comes to Mikra Megillah, what you're being motzi in is the reading of the Megillah. So that's got to be done by somebody who has the same. That's a regular dinner of arvus, regular dinner of Shomei Kona, right? That's got to be someone who's got the same level of obligations I have. So Mamela, now let's bring it over to a cotton. So a woman, perhaps, well, it comes to a woman Mikra Megillah momentarily, but a cotton. Okay, even if it's Gila Chinuch, but a cotton should Gila Chinuch is obligated based on what? The Mitzvah Chinuch, right? Or the Mitzvah Chinuch. He's obligated based on Mitzvah Chinuch. So for Ner Chanukah, that's also perhaps good enough. Because Sof Kol Sof, is he obligated? Yeah. His obligation is from somewhere else. Doesn't matter. He can create a Cheftz of Ner Chanukah, right? Because he has an obligation. It's not the same obligation as his father. What's the difference? He has an obligation. Based on Chinuch, but he has an obligation. So once he has an obligation, you can do it. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, we can make a chilek and say, no, a cotton shigila chinuch, that's why the Mechaber doesn't equate the two dinim. The Mechaber says that a cotton shigila chinuch can light the Chanukah, and all you have to do by lighting Chanukah is create a chavtza shel mitzvah. So that he can do. But he can't, you know, he can't do the maisa mitzvah, so to speak, of Mikra Megillah. Okay, because his obligation of Mikra Megillah is a secondary, or because of chinuch, it's not enough. Getting back to our issue of women, since we say women are obligated because afein ho bosanis, so again, that's enough by Ner Chanukah that she can write, and men can be otzi with that also. Okay, but so now we see, you see that's a kind of a lums yechilik in that regard. Now, the other thing is, though, so what about with this point, we'll move to finish, to take it a step further. This also explains a funny cheetah that Tosis quotes in the name of the Bahag. So we said that Gemara says women are obligated in Mikra Megillah, right? But, because I think that was nice, right? But the Bahag says, but women can't be motzi men. Why not? So Bahag said, because women are obligated in Shmia and not in Kriya. That's a very, very difficult idea. Okay, but that's what Tosis quotes. That's Tosa quotes that women are obligated and that's the further question: can a woman even read it for herself? Further problem: Avram talks about that. Okay, but what does that mean that women are obligated only in Shmiya? What does that mean? Okay, so Salvechik quoted from Agos Maimonios, based on a Yerushalmi, Parak Bezich, Megillah Halacha Hey, that part of the man's obligation is to read the Megillah for women too. Meaning that her obligation based on Afein Ho Bos Hanes, okay, is an obligation, not she's not obligated herself, okay, she's obligated, that men are obligated to also make sure that women hear. And that's what he suggested the Bahag meant by the mitzvah of Shmiya. It's a mitzvah, she has to hear the Megillah. But if that's the case, she has to hear it from somebody who's obligated in Kriya. That's why the Rambam will say that she can't read it for herself either. Okay, there's some discussion about that. But in any event, that's yeah.
I mean, the chiyuv's on the men, not
yeah.
the women?
There's a chiyuv. The woman's chiyuv is to hear the Megillah read by a man. That's a medayah from the Shalom. There's a chiyuv on the men to read Megillah for women too.
And the women have a chiyuv to go to
that. Yeah. In fact, I think, I don't know if you quoted the language of in Megillah Esther. Come to Purim, you'll read Megillah Esther. It says, "I'll call Nilvim Aleihem." You remember that language, right? I'll call Nilvim Aleihem. So it's a man's obligation. It's a lamed shayde, right? But it's a man's obligation. A man's that basically Yerushalmi. I'll go as minus quote to the Yerushalmi in Perik Aleph Hilchos Megillah Nos Aleph. Okay, quotes this Yerushalmi that the man has to be for woman also. Okay, So part of a man's obligation is to read it for women also. But the women have to, because of Avhan Ezer, they have to hear that. And that's what he used to explain. That's why a woman can't read it for a man. That's what he suggested. Bahag meant by saying, no chiyav kri on her. It's only chiyav of shmiya. Who does she have to have the shmiya from? She has to hear it from somebody who's obligated in the kriya. So that would also explain Avhan Avram, that she can't read it for herself. Oh, not everyone agrees that. I'm saying that some say women can read for themselves. Okay, they just can't read for men. But anyway, that's, you know, I'm going to go into that whole problem right now. But that's the idea. Okay? Again, based on our Yisod, Moshe said a different reason why women can't be motzi men. Not because this idea of shmiya and kriya. If you don't like that distinction, forget about it. But again, it's because the women's obligation is only, quote-unquote, based on afeinu bosanes. All right? And Mimela, she's not really chayv in Mikra Megillah as a takana d'abana of Mikra Megillah, or Katana Dira Kabbalah, whatever you call it, of Mikra Megillah. She's chayv based on the rule of Afeinu Sabaneis. But that, again, that makes her, so to speak, based on Rosh Hashanah, not on the same level of, you know, of obligation. Okay? She's not on the same level of obligation as a man, because her chiyuv, so to speak, is only, her chiyuv is only on, based on Afeinu Bosanes. And you follow? That's not what Tosu quotes in the Bahag, but Tosu quotes the Shita of the Bahag, but you can accept that Shita without accepting the chiluk between Shmi and Kriya using Ari Yisod. And finally, one other thing is that there are really two kiyumin in Mikra Megillah. Okay, there's also kiyum in Kriyas Ksuvim. There's a mitzvah to read Ksuvim. Okay, the fact that when is that mitzvah applicable? Certain times, the Chazal instituted a mitzvah. You look in Masechet Quoted always from Masechet Sofrim, or the Brisa, right? Masechet Sofrim is not really Mishnah, it's not Gemara, but it's the Brisa. It's authoritative, obviously, from time. So Masechet Sofrim, I think it's in Perkov. Masechet Sofrim, it says that you make the bracha of Al Mikra Megillah, not even reading the Megillah, it's Esther on Purim, but also in some people, if you have a klaf for Shir Shirim on Pesach, for Rus on Shavuos, for Eicha on Tisha B'Av, it doesn't mention the Kohelas on Sukkot, but I think because that's all question of Kohelas, but we do it right. You make a bracha on Mikra Megillah, same exact bracha. You don't make Shas Anisim. Okay, same. I remember that, you know, there's some shuls that have claps for the Megillahs. That's a tumult. The Taz is against making a bracha on Mikra Megillah, but the Vilna Gaon says you do for sure. And some in my shul we have. I had Rus and Shirashim, I think. I was a kid after, I was interested in laning as a kid, so I learned Megillahs after my mitzvah or whatever, so Kohelas is always a bomb. Kohelas is long, 12 brachas. Kohelas is long. I remember there was no one else crazy enough in the shul to want to read Kohelas, so I remember they had 3 minyanim. I laned Kohelas at 3 minyanim. It was like, wow. I mean, anyway, I guess once you know it, but still, you know. Alright, but you make the bracha of the same bracha of Al Mikra Megillah. So the Rav suggested with other rayas, not for that time, there's a kiyum of Kriyas Ksuvim. Our raya have the bracha Al Mikra Megillah. So Megillah's Esther is a kiyum also in Kriyas Ksuvim. So now the Rav suggested that's another explanation of the Bahag. Women are not obligated in Kriyas Ksuvim. They're obligated in what aspect of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah? The Persumenisa aspect. So Mela, they're not on the same level of obligation as the men. That's what the Bahag meant by saying they're obligated in Shmiya, not in Kriya. They're obligated only in pursuing Nisa, but they're not obligated in Kriya's Ksuvim. So therefore, again, from this point of view, they're considered Enim Mechuyiv Adavar, because they're not Mechuyiv in the Kriya's Ksuvim aspect of it. That's why they can't read it. According to that, though, they would be able to read it for other women. The other women also not obligated in Kriya's Ksuvim, obligated just in the pursuing Nisa aspect. So anyway, these are some insights from the Rav and Rosh Zalavetrik on the Afen Hobos Hanes. It all started with the Parshat Vayera with the Arbakosis, so where one of the primary discussions is. And thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Okay, KBY, they make a bunch on the other.